both parents. Good people, but they had no point of reference. So they were doing the tough love thing. It kicked me out a few weeks earlier. But are you fucking up? Heather continued. Of course you are. Without a doubt. We both know it. Everyone on this side of your two little worlds knows it. But at the same time, if other people don't see the real you, the you that you could be, then screw them. I wanted to smile, to grin even. I wanted to say something goofy, something typically charming. Something only the deeper level of me could come up with. Something only Heather could bring out of me. But you have to realize one thing, she added. I can't help you, Jay. I can't do a goddamn thing for you. She glared at me, her green eyes flashing. I'd never seen that from her before. You want to know why I'm here? The real reason? I actually shook my head no, only half realizing it. I just want to be there should you get through it, Jay. Should you survive? She waited for me to say something. Silence. She frowned. I looked at my ice cream. She grabbed a purse and left without a word. Hell. It was about a mile from the Dairy Queen strip mall on the western outskirts of Green River back to my neighborhood. And it was chilly for the last day of October. Heather would be heading back to work at the accountant's office. She was a high school senior on the school-to-work program and would have enough credits to graduate early at the end of the semester. I thought I'd lost her at least once before. Supremely stupid shit. I told her I fucking fell in love during my spring break trip to Key West last year. That if I could, I'd fucking leave this fucking minute to drive to Nebraska where this girl Rosanna lived. But 2 weeks later, when Little Miss Midwest messaged me that maybe it would be better to switch our Facebook relationship statuses back to single, who was still my local buddy? My platonic Michigan pal. And then there was that nearly perfect, clean and sober day this past summer when, on a crazy whim, sleepless at 5 a.m., I'd driven over to her house and knocked on her window, convincing her to drive 3 hours with me to Six Flags, just north of Chicago. The amusement park was nearly empty, no line for any of the dozen roller coasters. The IMAX movie had a swooping, stomach-dropping scene flying through the Grand Canyon. Heather gripped my hand and it stayed there for the rest of the film. But afterward, back in the sunlight, I acted as if nothing had happened. And she did likewise. It was more than a week and a half before I saw her again. It had been exactly 3 nights after Six Flags, in fact, that I got busted. There was no way I was going home. I went, instead, to Fat Karen's. Karen was this immense black woman who also happened to be manager at a local McDonald's. Lots of kids who hung out at her apartment were dirt poor or, like me, had been kicked out by their folks. And Fat Karen was generous when it came to coupons for free burgers or fries, not to mention her stash. Karen wasn't home when I arrived at her place. But as usual, for the few months I'd been in that scene, someone was crashing there. John Starling, the skinniest kid I've ever known, I swear to God. All ribs and blades and lines and angles. He looked like something out of, well, Dickens. Even though it was mid-afternoon, John looked like he'd just woken up, his halo of spongy curls flat on one side. We had a few beers and rapped a little. He broke out a joint and offered to light it up. I said, nah, man.